Now, one of the things, I don't know if you've ever looked at any of the so-called parables that Jesus tells, but one of his great knacks is taking something that, you know, potentially could be very profound, maybe even complex, and making it very simple. Whereas so often today, we seem to think that the sign of intelligence is taking something very simple and making it sound very complex. So one wag in the Times recently commented that too often our religious leaders would, rather than calling a spade, they might call a spade a longitudinal horticultural implement. And yet Jesus has this incredible ability to cut through all of the bluster and to call a spade in a way that's clear and compelling, in a way that helps us to understand what he's saying. And you can imagine for the disciples, some of whom were fishermen, to hear Jesus unpacking these incredible truths that he's talking about in language that they would understand. They would, of course, have seen the merchants who would travel up and down the ports and the markets looking for these fine pearls. So this would be familiar to them. And he's using investment language, which is why, if you see on your sheet, we've got this Artemis the Prophet Hunter little symbol. You'll sometimes see the adverts around as everybody's trying to seek after and search for investment. And really, this is the language that Jesus is using. He's looking to help us to understand the kingdom of God, this phrase that he uses to describe what it's like to be in a relationship with God, what it means to have God's influence, transforming power in your life, to sit under his authority. And he uses this wonderful, vivid imagery of this merchant looking for fine pearls. But I wonder if you notice that the first thing he says is that everybody is searching for something. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. He says that we're all merchants in some ways. We're all searching for something. Now, maybe not so much searching for God, though we like to think of ourselves like that. The Bible's often clear. The problem is not so much that we're searching for God. Rather, we're hiding from God. But one of our big issues is that we're all searching for something. That is, we're all searching for something that will give us value, significance, that life investment, if you like. And by the way, if you're not so into the investment language, then we could call it in relational terms. You're looking for that life partner, that marriage partner, that relationship that will give you the sense of worth and significance that we all desire. Everyone is searching for something. We're all looking for it. And really, I put it to you, and certainly this is what Jesus Christ says, you'll never understand all of human endeavor. You'll never understand history. You'll never understand our plans and our policies, our aspirations and our actions, our hopes and our fears, unless you understand this, that behind it all, behind the presentation of it all, is a desire, a searching. There's a searching going on to find that one thing that is significant enough, valuable enough, good enough, that when you find it, you say, that's it. But of course, the paradox is that this merchant keeps on searching and searching, and he doesn't find anything until he finds the pearl of great price, which we'll come to in a moment. Because in our human endeavor, as we search for those things, maybe we look to find that great investment that will make our career. Maybe we're searching to actually aspire to become the partner in our law firm or in our particular business. Maybe we're searching for that relationship or that right set of kind of relational connections that will give us a sense of fulfillment. Maybe we're architects and we're looking for that that perfect investment in property that will realize all of the value we long for. We're all searching for something. And yet, even when we get those good things, isn't it odd? There's always a sense that there should be something a little bit more than this. Don't do me wrong. I mean, we get it. It's good for a while, but then we long for something more. J.D. Rockefeller, the multimillionaire, was once asked, how much is enough money? And he said famously, just a little bit more. Of course, we see it with Sir Alex Ferguson, recently retired, that as soon as he'd won one Premier League title, literally 2 minutes later on the pitch with the camera zooming in on him, he was already talking about the search for the next Premier League title. We even have it as a marker of success, this inner restlessness. Everyone's searching for something. But then the punchline here is that then the merchant does find one pearl, one thing of such great and surpassing value that when he gets it, he gives up everything and sells everything he has to buy it. Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say he leveraged the investment portfolio of this particular pearl to get a load of new pearls. It doesn't say that. It says he sold everything. He gave it all up because he'd found that one thing that would finally make it all worthwhile, that took away the inner restlessness. And this is saying that those who find the kingdom of heaven need search no longer. What I thought I'd do, since the parable is inviting us to be thinking about this in investment terms, I thought I'd take the three core investment principles of one of the world's, arguably the world's most famous investor, Warren Buffett, and I would apply them to the kingdom of heaven, actually apply them to the king of the kingdom of heaven, Jesus Christ, and just to ask the question, and maybe this is where you're at, maybe you don't know a lot about who Jesus Christ is, maybe you've not had the opportunity to investigate, I want to hold up the three key investment principles and say, how does Jesus Christ stand up to scrutiny? Is he worth, to use the metaphor, you investing your life in? And by the way, as we go through it, of course, you'll be picking up what those three investment principles are. So we give you business advice here when you come, as well as, you know, spiritual advice. There we go. You can't say we don't give value for money. So here are the three key investment principles. Reliability, a track record, a proven track record, and the high potential for future rewards. Potential for high future rewards. Reliability, record, and reward. Let's look firstly at reliability. Is Jesus Christ a reliable person to invest your life in, to think about giving your all to? Well, it's remarkable, isn't it, that when you actually study his teaching in the Bible, that I put it to you, and I studied philosophy at university, and the thing that I found remarkable about him is he has the finest body of ethical teaching, of moral teaching, the world has ever known. It's not an exaggeration to say nations have been founded on his teaching. It is remarkable. I mean, just given the events of yesterday, to think of his incredible phrase, forgive your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. Wouldn't the world be an entirely different place if that was actually acted upon? He teaches the most remarkable, most beautiful set of teaching you could ever think of. It founds nations. But then more remarkably still is, unlike all of us, and I can speak for you, though I don't know you personally, he actually, his life and his lips seamlessly match up. So that he says, pray for those who persecute you, forgive your enemies. But then, incredibly, at the end of his life, when he's wrongly imprisoned, when he's held up in a kangaroo court, wrongly tried for something he didn't do, amidst a corrupt regime, when he's tortured, when he's mocked, when he's shamefully treated, and ultimately erected on a cross and crucified as a public spectacle, in that moment, when all was upon him, he says, incredibly, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. His closest friends, his disciples, his 12 closest friends say that they never saw him do anything wrong, not once. Now that is remarkable. That means not one wayward look, not one snide remark, not one putting down of someone else, always acting with perfect integrity, perfect poise, perfect gentleness, but equally perfect courage. His character is flawless. And if you doubt that, please just read the New Testament and ask yourself this question. Who could have made up such a figure as this? It is incredible. There's a vibrancy and a vitality and a reality to him at the same time as an integrity and a beauty to his life. He's perfectly reliable. Secondly, though, does he have a proven track record? So often we're used to bold claims, aren't we? I wonder if you can remember the boxer Chris Eubank, who was prone to making slightly larger-than-life boasts. Once he said, I am a living legend. If you look up legend in a dictionary, you will see a picture of me. As someone wisely said at the time, his first mistake was using a dictionary that required pictures. Does Jesus Christ have a proven track record? He's reliable, okay, but does he have a proven track record? Well, again, when you read the New Testament, the eyewitness accounts of his life, not just fairy tales, not wishful thinking, but historical eyewitness accounts witnessed by hundreds of people, they make the most astonishing claims. One commentator put it this way, such was the healing ministry of Jesus Christ that at the time every hospital in Galilee would have been empty. Every hospital, every disease that people brought to him with a touch, with a word, he could send it away, he could heal the person. Men, women, born blind, he could give them their sight back. People paralyzed since birth, he could reconstitute their limbs so that they would walk, not within hours of physiotherapy, but straight away. And even he brought people back from the dead, a little girl, his friend Lazarus. And then most remarkably still, and his claims really stand or fall in the New Testament on this claims, he himself said he would rise from the dead, and then physically in space, time, and history, as a matter of historical record, he did, appearing to hundreds of people at one time so they could testify to his reliability, to his proven track record. And I just want to ask you, what do you make of this? I mean, it's this astonishing reliability, this incredible proven track record, this ability to say to people, your sins are forgiven, and then to actually bring that about. Is he worth investing in? And then finally, what about, does he have potential for high future earnings, for reward? I mean, is there any reward at the end of it? Well, I mean, the claims of Jesus Christ are absolutely remarkable. First of all, he claims that if you come to him and humble yourself before him, that means if you come and accept what he's offering you as a free gift, you can be known and loved by God himself. You can know the God who made you, the God who created you. And in knowing the God who made you and created you, you know who you are, where you've come from, where you're going, and why you're here. Now, those are the big issues of life. And so often, behind so much of our restlessness, we want to know those things, but we don't know where to go for them. But he says you can find out who you are, where you're going, where you've come from, and why you're here. To be in a relationship with God, but not just a remote God, a distant God, but a Father in heaven. Not only that, not only is there friendship with God, but there's forgiveness. James Thurber wrote in the New Yorker, he was a journalist and a kind of cartoonist, and after observing many years of New York activity in a metropolitan, you know, kind of setting, he wrote this: everyone should work out before they die what they're running from and to and why. Now, that is very wise advice. Everyone should work out before they die what they're running from and to and why. Can I ask you generally, are you afraid that you can't outrun your past? Now, how do you get past your past? All of us have a kind of a locker room, a safe, if you like, where we put our past, where we lock it away. I'm really glad now that you don't know all of my past. You know, I might be a minister and I might now live a life of integrity. That's not always been the way. And even so, the private life that I have doesn't stack up so often with the public life. I'm glad my wife's not here. She's a doctor. She's prone to too much honesty, so I can't tell you that. But isn't that true, that we all make mistakes? We all get it wrong. And how do you get past your past? Well, Jesus Christ says forgiveness is how you do that. He offers us perfect forgiveness through his life and his death on a cross, paying in blood and death for you and I in the way we get things wrong so often in the times, so often the way we wrong God and we don't give a thought to God at all. He gives us forgiveness. He takes, if you like, all of those things shut away in that locker and he throws them into the sea of God's forgetfulness. How do you get past your past? Forgiveness. Friendship with God, forgiveness, and finally, a future. High future rewards? Well, how about this then? A perfect new world that's guaranteed, is not a vague hope, is guaranteed for all who trust in Jesus Christ. And please don't be confused by the metaphors the Bible uses for that place it calls heaven, which it often refers to as a new creation, because it is this world made new. And actually, sitting around with good friends having a nice meal is not a bad picture of it. Often the Bible refers to it as a feast. But please don't be confused about the metaphors. You know, we often mock them a little bit, don't we, and say, well, I don't want to sit on clouds, you know, in celestial light playing my golden harp. But actually, if we unpack it, it's music, because music is a symbol, a metaphor of joy and wonder. It's light because it's a symbol of purity and perfection. And it's gold because it's a symbol of permanence and significance. Heaven will go on and on. It will never end. The party will never stop. And actually, the claim is that behind every one of your endeavors, there's a whisper, a faint vision of heaven that you're longing for and you don't know it. I wonder if you feel a sense of restlessness and dissatisfaction. You're looking for that right thing to invest in. Can I put it to you that the pearl of great price, the King of heaven, Jesus Christ, is the one underneath it all you're investigating, you're really seeking after? Which just leaves us, as we wrap up, to the punchline. And here it is. He went away, sold everything he had, and bought it. He sells everything. That implies, crucially, that there's a cost. There is a cost. Every good investment has a cost. There's no such thing as a free lunch. You're all shrewd workers in the city, most of you. You understand that. There's no such thing as a free lunch. That's why we put our smiliest person, by the way, on the desk outside. Did you see the way she seamlessly took the money off you? You didn't even notice because you were just dazzled by her smile. That's wise of us, isn't it? But you have to give up something, and this is what. You might have to give up some of your time to investigate these claims. If you've never looked at them before, thanks for coming. But do take the time. Don't take my word for it. Read the New Testament. We've got a course called Bible Explored. It runs for 8 weeks. We've just had the second week. Next week, Wednesday evening, is a great opportunity. And here's the thing. You come along, you have a meal. You can ask any of your questions. No question is too hostile. No question is too stupid, which is a great reassurance for people like me. You can come along and ask all of your questions. Investigate it. You might have to have the cost of giving up your time. But maybe you already know enough, and maybe you're worried, well, what happens? I don't want to be one of the God squad. I mean, what will my friends and my colleagues say? Well, is that really such a big price to pay? A little loss of reputation as you have to explain it to people? And by the way, once you explain it to them, they realize it's not so bad after all. But is that such a price to pay for the pearl of great price? Or maybe you've just got to give up some of your independence. Of course, I mean, independence is an illusion, isn't it? We're not really that independent, and we're really never stronger than when we're dependent on God. But we might have to realize that. He gave up everything he had, and he bought it. That's the challenge, but of course, as with every investment, there's a window. The investment opportunity will close, so you better invest before it does.